Words for Life is a recent talk by Pastor Jonathan Miller of Eastleigh Community Church in East Bentley, here in Melbourne.
What is wrong with God? What? Did the pastor just say that? No, seriously, but I mean, who hasn't thought that from time to time? Every now and then it's like, what is wrong with you, God? It's okay. It's okay to get there. And it happens. Specifically, did God not create a perfect world? Or did God create a world with pain and suffering and death? And if God didn't, or at least if pain and suffering and death weren't part of God's original plan, what does that mean? Does that mean that God's not sovereign, that God's not omnipotent? Does that mean that God's powers are limited in some way? It's pretty heavy questions, really, isn't it? But I think a lot of us have wondered something along these lines, so it's worth looking into. So as long as we're talking about the world that God created, let's look back at the time when God created the world to see what the Bible says that he created. So I'm going to head straight into Scripture. This is the last line of the very first chapter of the Bible. This is Genesis 1, verse 31. God saw all he had made, and it was very good. There was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Very good. God created a very good world. So surely a very good world is not one that's full of pain and suffering and death. So clearly, when God created the world, it actually wasn't his intention to inflict pain and suffering and death on humanity. Indeed, the Bible is clear that God's original plan was actually for humans to live forever. And knowing that we have a good God, we can rest assured that life was not meant to be full of pain and suffering. So clearly, something happened. What happened? Adam and Eve happened, didn't they? Specifically, Adam and Eve sinned. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when you sin, there's consequences. So let's have a look at that. This is Genesis 3, a little bit later on. This is Genesis 3, 17 to 19. And this tells us what the consequences are. It says, cursed is the ground because of you. I know I've read this before, but it's worth looking at it again. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat the food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. So pain and suffering are a consequence of human sin. Now let's read a little bit further in Genesis. This is Genesis 3, a little bit further, verse 22. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So you might have heard of the mythical fountain of youth. This was a mythical fountain that if it was found and a human drank for it, they would live forever. That's not in the Bible. But what we do have in the Bible is the tree of life, and it's pretty much the same thing. See, Adam and Eve were originally destined to live forever. They had free access to the tree of life, and that was God's plan. But because of the fall, or because of sin, the access was cut off. And you might think, that, well, that's just punishment. That's just God punishing people for doing the wrong thing. But I believe it's actually incredible mercy from God. See, God's original plan was for humanity to really remain in a state of innocence. But as soon as they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they lost their innocence. We lost our innocence. We now knew right from wrong. Can you imagine living an eternity with all of the guilt of knowing all the things that you've done, just building up as you continue to do wrong things as you go through life, with no way of getting rid of it? It would have been too much for any human to bear. So God, in his mercy, cut short human life so that they could finally get some rest. But actually, this is one of the reasons why Jesus' work on the cross is so important. As I said, humans, all humans, are destined for immortality. Just not in these earthly envelopes that you're seeing us in now. All humans will be resurrected, and all will have the knowledge of good and evil. Now, because of Jesus, our sins, that's those that believe in Jesus, our sins have been covered by his blood, which will make for a beautiful afterlife. But those that don't know Jesus will have to live an eternity with all the guilt of all the wrong things that they've done forever. I mean, that really sounds like hell to me. Now, just want to be clear, I don't think that this means we're going to actually just magically forget our sins. I think this means that we will really see ourselves through God's eyes, which after all is the true essence of everything, is how God sees it. Our identity, our true identity, is the identity that God gives us and God sees for us. And so I believe that we will see ourselves eternally as forgiven. We will see ourselves eternally as saints, not as sinners. Okay, back to the main theme. So we've just seen God created a very good world. So did he also create some bad things at the same time? Well, let's check James 1:17. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change. So there you go. Nope, he didn't. He didn't create bad things. So what happened? Well, have you ever been on a holiday and left the place and thought, wow, this place is amazing. It's great. I could easily live here if it wasn't for the people. Well, pretty much that's what happened to Earth, right? Ultimately, God had two choices. He could keep things lovely and pristine forever, or he could give humanity the freedom to choose, freedom of choice. Now, we know that God chose the latter. He chose to give humanity freedom. But we also know that humans often choose badly. In fact, often choose really badly. In fact, let's have a look at the very first set of brothers that were ever conceived on earth. So this is Genesis 4, verse 8. Now, Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out in the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Genesis 4, we're four chapters in. Kind of escalated pretty quickly, didn't it? So let's jump just two more chapters, Genesis 6 now. This is Genesis 6, 11. It says this, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. So where does pain and suffering come from? It comes from God giving humans free will. God choosing not to make humans puppets. Pain, suffering, and death are the result of human choice. In fact, human choice caused the earth itself to become corrupt. Well, if God is omniscient, that is, if God knows everything, if he knows the end from the beginning, then why did he even bother setting it all in motion in the first place? Well, let's take a quick look at this idea of omniscience. I spoke about this a little bit a few weeks ago, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself a little bit. God is outside of time, so it's all kind of like time is a movie where God's got the God stick, like we call it in our family, the remote control, where he can fast forward and rewind and go to any point that he likes in the movie. But, and here's the thing, God didn't create the movie. We, humans, we are the actors. We create the movie. God created the set. Beautiful set. And God comes in and plays cameos every now and again on the big screen. But by and large, the acting is actually done by us. Unfortunately, humanity seems to have chosen a horror movie rather than a romantic comedy. But there is good news. God hasn't bunked out at all. God hasn't run away. In fact, he has invited us to access his world anytime we like. He's given us kind of like a spiritual telephone or like the internet or the superhighway. He's given us a spiritual superhighway. And our access to the spiritual superhighway is through none other than the person of the Holy Spirit. Paul put it this way in his letter to the church in Corinth. This is 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Now that's exciting news. And when God's Spirit comes to live in you, we know he doesn't come empty-handed. We know about this. He comes with fruit and gifts, right? We spoke about that not long ago. See, God's solution to the problem of pain and suffering is not to take away our ability to cause pain and suffering. His solution is, see, if he was going to do that, remember, he would actually have to take away our freedom of choice. He doesn't do that. Rather, his solution is to offer to be with us on the journey. So there's another verse I'd like to have a look at. This is Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You see, pain and suffering, they're not the end of the story. God doesn't simply lament and say, oh, what a shame, there's pain and suffering in the world, let's just suffer together. At all. He says, you know what, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this pain and suffering for the good of my people. And one of the main ways that he uses that is actually to communicate with us. C.S. Lewis said it like this. C.S. Lewis is one of the greatest modern Christian writers and commentators. He said this: God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Am I the only one that thinks that we're in a deaf world? Actually, am I the only one that thinks that we're in a deaf, blind, dumb, and mute world? Is it possible that COVID is actually part of God's megaphone? I want to read to you an email that came to me from a guy called Dale Stagg. He's the CEO of Reach Beyond, which is a missionary agency that we support. Dear Eastleigh Community Church, alongside Shortwave, we are rapidly growing our reach to Tamil speakers through WhatsApp, a free messenger app for smartphones which uses the internet to send messages, images, audio or video. At last count, the gospel messages we produce are being distributed to a network of well over 10,000 Tamil listeners every day of the week in both audio and text. How amazing is that? But what also excites me is what we don't know. Many of the people on our WhatsApp network are forwarding the messages to their own networks, like the responses below. Cheers. I'm a lab technician. Working for a hospital. I was working in the COVID ward and was so fearful of contracting it. I have children at home and I'm a single parent. I'm listening to your WhatsApp messages and it encourages me. One of my colleagues forwards them to me and I'm forwarding them to at least three more groups, at least 100 people. I would like to take baptism when the situation turns to normalcy. Shari. Isn't that a wonderful story? It's so exciting. We can really see God using COVID to bring a huge outbreak of salvation in the Tamil world. But what's critical here is how Shari and the others have actually responded to being shouted at. See, typically there are two possible responses. One, like Shari, is to say, okay, I hear you, God, I got it. You've got my attention. What are you saying? And then leaning in and trying to work out what God is saying. The other thing Well, the other way of dealing with it, the other response, is to run away with your fingers in your ears saying, no one's got the right to scream at me like that, and not listening at all. Now, let me ask you a question. Well, this is really for the parents, but I think everyone will understand. Have you ever screamed at your child? My child will raise his hand, says, yes, definitely. His father has screamed at him. So, did I scream at them because I hated my children? Of course not, right? Did I scream because I wanted to upset them or bully them? Of course not. I screamed at my children because I loved them and because they were in some kind of danger. God loves the world, and the world is in some kind of danger. More and more people are perishing all the time. And now, when I say perishing, by the way, I'm not talking about COVID. People die all the time. In fact, and this is a really crazy statistic, in worldwide terms, the mortality rate during COVID has decreased by 5%. Less people are moving around, less people are catching other diseases and so on, and that's all due to COVID. So even including the deaths from COVID, the total deaths across the world during the pandemic has gone down by 5%. God is not using COVID to punish humanity by decimating our population. But God has used COVID to scream at us. He says, wake up! And you know what? People are listening. And many people are wondering, is there more than just this pain and suffering? And who knows the answer? Who knows? We know! We know, don't we? You know. You know God. You read the Bible. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You are adopted sons and daughters of God Most High. But sometimes we take this for granted, don't we? We think, well, everyone's kind of like us. We think everyone pretty much knows what we know. It's just that they have rejected it. But that's not true at all. And it's becoming less and less true. And certainly if our current state government has anything to do about it, it's a trend that's definitely going to continue. They want what we know to be a secret. Now, I can't tell you exactly why, but there is no doubt that religious freedoms are being eroded and secular liberties are being encouraged at the moment, particularly here in Victoria. So what is, in the end, the difference between us and them? By us, I mean saved people, Christian people, people that know God, and them. I mean, we're all stressed, right? And we're all scared. We're scared about the future. We're scared that we're going to have to deal with more pain and suffering. But we've got a different solution to this. See, they want instant gratification. They say, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we may die. They say, in fact, tomorrow may never come, so let's just get the most out of the here and now. And they want freedom to do whatever they want, whenever they want. They say, enough suffering already. Don't give me more suffering by stopping me from doing exactly what I want. And you know what? I get it. It makes sense. It's just futile. But we've got a different attitude. We say, yeah, I get it. The situation's bad in ways. But we have hope. In fact, we have an assurance. We know that in the end we will prevail. We know that our God is with us. And if our God is with us, what could possibly stop us? We know that our God is going to do, and he is doing, great things for us, no matter what the world throws at us, both in this life and in the life to come. You see, where others see a stumbling block, we see a stepping stone. There's just one last thing that I ask, or perhaps one last thing that God asks, and it's this: let everyone know. Let them know that there is a better way, that there is another way, a divine way. Let them know that God actually has a purpose for them, a purpose for their lives. Let them know that God has something far, far greater in mind than they could ever have imagined for themselves. And let them know that he loves them unconditionally, and he wants desperately to be known and loved by them. And he wants to walk with them in their hour of need. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us free choice, that you haven't made us puppets. Thank you that you use all the bad things that happen in this corrupt world for our good. Thank you that you are with us, that you are comforting us. With your Holy Spirit, you are with us as we walk through the tough times, and that you have a wonderful plan for us, for our lives, a plan that is far beyond whatever we could have imagined. Lord, help us to let our neighbours know about you. Help us to let them know that you love them and that you have a better way planned for them. Inspire us, Lord, and give us the courage to walk daily into your plan. In Jesus' name. Amen.